Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, turn our dial up, turn our dial up, turn our dial up. It's coming on, it's coming on.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Let's talk. Let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk. Let's talk, let's talk, let's talk.
Yeah, it is Bismarck right here on your radio this Saturday evening. Hey, it's DGIS. And thank God for Saturday. It's another day here at Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, and you're listening to the program Let's Talk. It's tonight, the first portion of the show is focused on Africa. And the second portion is the after party, which starts at 11 o'clock. Hey, keep that dial tuned in for Focus on Africa right now with Bismarck on
Radio Talk 101.3. With your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the radio.
Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck. Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck, with your host Bismarck.
Yeah, I'm your host Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3, and you're listening to the 10 o'clock show, the program Let's Talk. The first portion of the program tonight is focused on Africa, and that's from 10 o'clock till 10:59, and the second portion of the show comes on at 11 o'clock, which is the after party from 11 till 12. And you're tuned into Radio Talk 101.3 with your host Bismarck. And we're right here on your radio this Saturday evening, TGIS. Thank God it's Saturday. Thank God for tuning in to Radio Talk 101.3. And we know you're going to be going out there and have some fun tonight, or if you're going to be chilling in or going to work, hey, just keep that dial tuned into Radio Talk 101.3, and we're going to get you ready for whatever the night has for you. Hey, before we get into the program Focus on Africa, let's get into some African headline news. Brotherhood to join Egypt talks. Egypt's influential Muslim Brotherhood says it will join other opposition groups in talks with officials following weeks of protests against President Mubarak's rule. Tunisian police shoot protesters. Police killed two people in northwestern Tunisia during an attack by protesters on a police station. Deadly clash between Sudan troops At least 13 people, including two children, are killed in clashes between soldiers in the volatile South Sudan town of Malaka, doctors say. African sports. South Africa stunned Ghana in CHA and Niger win. South Africa defeat Ghana 2-1 at African Nations Championship, while Niger beat Zimbabwe 1-0 on Saturday. Can corruption be eliminated? Nigeria's EFCC head says, no way. Complete eradication can be achieved. Do you agree? Egypt woes costing $310 million a day. Factories close and tourists Egypt amid unrest. Analysis. Missing a beat. Will Hussein Mubarak regret his poor sense of timing? Crying foul. Small Chinese businesses corner lucrative market in Africa. Bread or the ballot. Will street protests spread across Africa from Egypt and Tunisia? Lost champion. The man who gave Uganda's gay community its voice. Dying for change. Sierra Leone struggles to improve life expectancy. Harding on Africa. ANC sushi parties spark South Africa anger. Room to share. Can black and white South African students live together? Where is that coming from? Now let's get into some political news from Liberia, West Africa. NEC boss snuffs calls to quit. The chairman of the National Election Commission, NEC, Mr. James Furlan, says he does not want to dignify the call by the Liberty Party LP for his resignation. CBO's Jones faces Senate confirmation. The executive governor of the Central Bank of Liberia, CBO, faces Senate confirmation. Mandinga Caucus cries foul over voters' registration process. Members of the National Mandinga Caucus of Liberia, NMCL, said they have received credible reports of continuous, wrongful, and systematic rejection of their Liberian kingsmen in the ongoing voters' registration. Salalah residents petition Selena for representative post. At least 500 persons representing cross-sections of District Number 2, Salalah District, Bong County, have petitioned Selena Paulson Mapi to contest the district seat in the lower house of the national election. Professor Tukwa joins District Number 3 race in Wapulu. A professor of political science at the University of Liberia, Alaric Tupa, has declared his intention to contest the representative position of District Number 3 in Bokolo County in the ensuing general election. Bong County Superintendent relieved of post. The Superintendent of Bong, Mr. Rennie Jackson, has been relieved of his post by President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Ellen in constitutional trouble. After repeatedly recognizing her vice president before the presiding officer of the day, Speaker Alex Tyler, President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is said to have landed herself in constitutional trouble. Senate with two left-footed slippers at state function, Rivergee County. Senior Senator Nathaniel Williams caused his side-slipping laughter among local and foreign dignitaries at President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's State of the National Address on Tuesday. Deputy Speaker implicated in voters' fraud. Voters' registration frauds continue to be gaining momentum across the country, with perpetrators implicating key government officials. First over division projects. It appears that the son of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Robert Sirleaf, and opposition politician Reginald Sokantia are at variance over development projects in District 10. You're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3, and you're listening to the program Focus on Africa. Keep that dial tuned in because we've got a very interesting show for you tonight. And like we said, the first portion of the show is Focus on Africa from 10 till 10:59. And the second portion of the show, the after party and the call out starts at 11, from 11 till 12. So keep that dial tuned in because Bismarck is on your radio right now. The number is 1-917-889-2678. You can call in to holler at Bismarck, or you can call in to send a request out to a friend or family. It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Let's get into the program now. Focus on Africa.
Africa.
Chris Bashir. You're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3 with the program Focus on Africa. Well, let's get into the story now from Egypt. Egypt protest Muslim Brotherhood to join talks. Anti-Mubarak protesters remain entrenched in Tahrir Square. Egypt's most influential opposition group, the Muslim Brotherhood, says it will enter talks with officials on ending the country's political crisis. The group told Reuters the talks will begin on Sunday and would assess how far the government was ready to accept the demands of the people. The negotiations would be the first ever to be held between the government and the officially banned Brotherhood. President Hussein Mubarak has rejected protesters' demands that he quit now. Mr. Mubarak, who has been in office since 1981, tolerating little dissent, has said he will not stand in elections due in September. Huge crowds have been on the streets of Cairo and other cities in the past few weeks, demanding his immediate resignation and calling for democratic reforms. The Muslim Brotherhood had previously said it would not take part in negotiations between the government and opposition groups. But the spokesman told Reuters, "We have decided to engage in a round of dialogue to ascertain the seriousness of officials towards the demands of the people and their willingness to respond to them." A spokesman told the AFP news agency the dialogue was also aimed at ending foreign or regional interference in the situation. The Islamist group is Egypt's most influential and well-organized opposition, but it remains officially banned, and its members and leaders have been subject to frequent repressions. Mr. Mubarak has blamed it for the unrest and said that if he leaves, the group will exploit the ensuing political chaos. The Muslim Brotherhood denies accusations that it is seeking to create an Islamic State in Egypt. Resignations. Opposition demonstrators are continuing to occupy Cairo's Tahrir Square as the protests enter their 13th day, although the numbers have fallen from Friday's huge rally. The military has been attempting to reopen the square to the public in an attempt to restore normality and to confine the protests to a small area. "You all have the right to express yourselves, but please save what is left of Egypt. Look around you," said Army Commander Hassan al-Rouani, addressing the crowds on Friday evening through a loudspeaker. But hundreds of people then attempted to prevent the army from entering the square. Some lay on the ground in front of the tanks to block their progress. The protesters would become irrelevant if they were confined to a smaller area, but that the relations between the soldiers and the demonstrators have remained friendly. The U.S., a key ally of the Mubarak government, has called for a swift transition of power, although it has not explicitly told Mr. Mubarak to leave. It has also encouraged all parties to fully engage in talks with opposition groups. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden phoned his Egyptian counterpart, Omar Suleiman, on Saturday and called for credible, inclusive negotiations for Egypt's transition to a democratic government to address the aspirations of the Egyptian people, the State Department said. The entire leadership of the ruling National Democratic Party, NDP, resigned en masse on Friday, apparently in response to the protests. Two of Mr. Mubarak's allies, including his son Gamal, lost their post while Hussein Badrawi was appointed Secretary General. You're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3, and that was news from Egypt. And you're listening to Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Hey, keep that dial tuning because we got more information, news, and music from Liberia, Africa, and the world coming at you. You're listening to the program Focus on Africa, and your host is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. TGIS, you're listening to the 10 o'clock program right here on Radio Talk 101.3 with your host, Bismarck. We got our first guest on tonight, Mr. Hassan. Good evening, Mr. Hassan. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, man.
How's the family? It's another blessed Saturday evening.
I know. Right now, I'm doing double duty. You guys gave me help.
Well, you're the mom for the evening.
I know.
Yeah, we started with a program tonight with a story from Egypt. Says Egypt protests Muslim Brotherhood to join talks. As you know, initially the Brotherhood said they weren't going to be a part of the talks, but now they are saying that they are going to join the talks to see how they can bring ease to the problem in Egypt. What do you think about it?
I mean, they're part of Egypt, so, I mean, for them joining the talk, I think it's a good thing. And they need to join the talk, anyway, because they are the largest and most credible political party right now in Egypt, so for them joining the talk, I think it's a good thing. But I still believe that the president should remain in power and there should be a smooth transition.
Okay. We somehow spoke about the same issue yesterday evening about Egypt becoming radicalized. What do you think about it now that Muslim brothers are deciding to join the talks?
Like I said, these guys they are the largest political party right now in Egypt, and it's necessary that they join the talk. My problem, hold on 1 second. Yeah, my problem here is, hold on, baby, 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hassan is daddy.
I know. The Muslim Brotherhood needs to join the yes, I did. That's the same thing I was on, my man. This guy was giving me hot thing when I'm at my phone.
It's all right.
Yeah. I had to be on the phone. Yeah.
You know, there was an analysis made on the reports from Egypt. Let me read you the analysis by Jonathan Marcus. It says, Mr. Wisner is a veteran diplomat who knows Egypt and President Mubarak well. He urged people to control their rhetoric. The more Egyptians hear demands from outside the country for Mr. Mubarak to stand down, he urged, the more it would have negative consequences. The former ambassador set out the familiar U.S. demands. Changes to the Egyptian constitution, respect for the minority rights, a free press, free and fair elections, and so on. Crucially, he said that in his view, Mr. Mubarak should stay in office to steer these changes through. So is this the view of just a well-informed expert on Egypt or a glimpse from Mr. Obama's special envoy of the real game plan in Washington? So what do you think?
I think that guy is
Mr.
Johnny DeMarcus
is saying that... He thinks that Mr. Mubarak should remain there during the transition period.
Yeah, I think so too. And last night I said the same thing. Mr. Mubarak should stay there to monitor a smooth transition. This guy spent 30 years in power. The only face most of the Egyptians know is this guy. And that's it. That's one of the dangers of staying long in power. And six months, to me is short. At least he said he's not going to run again. And he's going to turn over power to monitor. This not continuing to.
That's what he says, and we're hoping that. You know, he sticks to his word, you know, because others have said the same thing in the past and, you know, came to find out that it didn't really mean what they said. But this is a very complex issue, and you know,
well, senior is not a thing. The smooth transition that I'm talking about is gonna start like now. They're gonna start working on a comprehensive framework for him in order for him to be able to turn over hand over power to whosoever gonna succeed him. They're gonna start like now. He's gonna meet with a Muslim Brotherhood, meet with other opposition parties in the country, and they're gonna start working on it until within a 6 month time frame. So during the talk, we're gonna see what's gonna happen during the talk before we can all jump to conclusion. I think we should wait for them to go to the talk, and based on the outcome of the talk, we know whether this guy is serious or he's trying to buy time. I don't think he from what the people from the demonstration, I don't think this guy, he knows, he gets it. He knows that the people really mean business. So I don't think he's going to cling on to power. I think he got a message.
Okay. We just got joined by another guest, Mr. Woods. Good evening, Mr. Woods. Welcome to Focus on Africa.
Well, thank you so much, sir, for inviting me to your program.
We started
you,
off
sir?
With the. That's Mr. Hassan, Mr. Woods.
Yeah. How are you, buddy?
Fine, man.
Tonight we started with the issue in Egypt, and there's reports that the Muslim Brotherhood decided to join talks to bring peace to Egypt. Initially, they were excluding themselves from the talks, but now they have decided to become part of the talks. What's your view on that, Mr. Woods?
Well, whenever we have any kind of reconciliation, as we did in Liberia, it is important to bring all factors to the table so they can reconcile. In peace agreement, if people have a yes in conflict resolution, most of the time they tend to, you know, obey the commitment that is behind that. Some of the time now, so it is not good to exclude people, and so it's important for them to come. They play a major factor within the Egyptian culture and religious political issues.
Okay, and. Yesterday evening we had a discussion about the same scenario going on right now. Are you not worried about Egypt becoming radicalized?
It's a worry though. For the main reason is that anytime you have a jihadist government, or how you call it, an extremist government that take over and impose their will on the people. Sometimes it violates basic human rights, their women's rights, you know, and different stuff like that. So it's very important for them to look at those people. But I don't think they're going to go that far. I don't care how people say. Why? Because for a long time, Egypt has been very liberal in their approach of politics, despite the we call it dictator or so, but they have been very liberal. They have not used that method of the Iranian and Afghanistan. So for a new, you know, extremist group to take over and apply those things on those people, it will be extremely difficult.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you have to say?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
Mr. Hassan.
Well, I believe first the Muslim Brotherhood is relevant to the Egyptian political landscape. So in every meeting,
yep,
they supposed to be represented. They are the largest political party, and so I think the representation is necessary. They need to go to the table, put all the cards on the table, and see what how it will turn out. They're gonna know whether Mr. President Buhari is mean business or he's just trying to buy time, and then they can that's the best way forward. But for now, everybody there dropping their hearts. I don't think that's the right approach. They need to go to the meeting, have a dialogue, and move on from there. But I don't think Egypt's going to be radicalized. I don't think so. I believe if Mr. Mubarak leaves power abruptly, that country might sink into chaos and they might be radicalized. But for now, I think Egypt still have a chance.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Both of you are saying something that does make sense. But with the situation the way it is, the terrorists around the world and what's going on, it's a confusing situation and it's very fragile right now. So we're going to get into more conversation. You're listening to Radio Talk 101.3 with your host, Bismarck, and our guest tonight. For now, we have Mr. Hassan and Mr. Woods. We're going to get back into more conversation with them. Let's get into the song by LIB recording artist, 2C, with the song LIB Dreams.
I'm the librarian dream.
Dream.
Liberian Dream by Belle Ivy recording artist Tusi. Now we're back to the program, Focus on Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a very interesting story here from Liberia. It says NEC Boss Snops Calls to Quit by Abedingo Davis. The chairman of the National Election Commission, NEC, Mr. James Frumoyer, says he does not want to dignify the call by the Liberty Party for his resignation. He characterized the call by Liberty Party's Charles Brumsky as a nonsense, saying it does not warrant his reaction. LP accused Mr. James Frumoyer of being a stooge and supporter of the ruling Unity Party, whose chairmanship of NEC, he said, will give undue advantage to the ruling UP in the 2011 election, general election, presidential election. The LP maintains that NEC, under the tutelage of Mr. Fomayan, has begun demonstrating partiality when it threatened to deal with political parties and aspirants who were suspected of being involved in pre-campaign activities. NEC, at a recent news conference in Monrovia, observed that some aspirants were using the ongoing voters registration exercise to carry out pre-campaign activities. NEC says some of those involved have printed T-shirts and other campaign-related regalia under the pretext that they were encouraging more people to participate in NEC voters registration exercise, which is scheduled from January 10, 2011 to February 6, 2011. It made specific reference to the recent visit of LP political leader Charles Walker Brumskin to Bunga City, Bon County, Central Liberia. NEC believes that the visit was characterized by campaign slogans, speeches, among others, in blatant violation of NEC's pre-campaign guidelines. However, LP and others said the assertion of the NEC were tantamount to demonstrating a partiality as the country moves towards the election. However, Mr. Fomayan, when asked by the Daily Observer last night through a mobile phone about his reaction to LP's latest call for his replacement, he was not prepared to give credence to such nonsense. "I do not want to dignify that nonsense," he stressed. The NEC boss told the Daily Observer that at the moment he is concentrating on holding a successful voters registration exercise, which is crucial to the pending elections, as opposed to listening to people who were just roaming around about his resignation. But the LP, in its recent press statement issued in Monrovia, contended that it is an open secret that since President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf announced herself as a formidable candidate during her annual message in 2010, she and the Unity Party UP have not relented in carrying out a series of campaign activities under the disguise of performing national duties. Unity Party has consistently denied its involvement in pre-campaign activities. LP further said, "At carefully planned dedicatory ceremony, citizens were mobilized to present statements of support for President Sirleaf's second term bid. But since his incumbency as head of the NEC, Mr. Fomayan continues to demonstrate not only partiality in the way he deals with actual opposition political parties and the ruling Unity Party." According to the LP, the NEC boss has also shown a highly acrimonious disposition against the opposition. Now, gentlemen, here's the story from Liberia in regards to the NEC boss, the National Election Commission. There's an allegation made by LP, the Liberty Party, against the NEC boss of being partial in regards to the Unity Party. What do you think, Mr. Woods?
I had an issue with this the process of registration, as a matter of fact. And I'll give my point. It took 6 years. The election commission has 6 years to prepare themselves. And one issue that came out during this coming registration was that people were leaving from one place, like a Moravia, going other places to register to vote. So it shows that the process of registration has some flaws, because why? They never properly prepared for it. Now, what they should have done that 6 years before, and the National Election Commission should have, you know, made a proposal to the government or the Senate, how you may call it, saying that we would like to make a proposal that those who people need to live within a given constituent for at least 1 or 2 years, you know, before they're eligible to vote. You can't leave from a neighbor, go out of the road for the vote, you know, as hard they do in the U.S. yet. And the second issue I face with them is the fact that, and I said it before, Mr. Flomoya being a very strong supporter of the UP and giving that position as an election commissioner, you know, the perspective of people, it don't show a good sign of loyalty to the process. So people will all be suspicious. Now, this party now is using that to hit the UP. They're right to do that. They are very right to do that. So those are the issues we're facing. And I heard another complaint also, too. And from Lofa, some of my Mandingo brothers and sisters were denied to vote. You know, I read it on the internet. And why? The same issue came. Because we never had a system to document all our people or constituents. So those issues came up. So he needed to resign. He needed to resign. But after the election, he needed to resign.
Okay, Mr. Woods. Mr. Hassan?
Yes, I'm here. I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
We got you.
Mr. Bronski and statement. Right now, I think it's an allegation. He hasn't been found. I don't think there's hard evidence to prove that he's backing Erin Johnson Sirleaf or he's in favor of her. So I think we need to give him a chance, and at least the allegation needs to be investigated. The outcome of it, maybe they could fire him or he could resign. He's on the signing. But for now, I think it's just an allegation, and
Mr. Wu just spoke about the issue with the Mandingos and with voters registration. There's a story here that says Mandingo caucus cries foul over voters registration process. Members of the National Mandingo Caucus of Liberia, NFCL, said they have received credible reports of continuous wrongful and systematic rejection of the Liberian Kingsmen in the ongoing voters registration exercise. The suspected Mandingo exclusion, the NMCL released under the signatures of its acting Secretary General Mamadi S. Bekai Bate, said was discovered recently when some of the Kingsmen were being reportedly denied at various registration centers across the country. But when contacted in the Information Department of the National Election Commission, an official denied the claims. He said NEC was committed to ensuring that all eligible Liberians should form part of the ongoing registration exercise across the country. It is our information that the issuance of registration rejection forms, RRF, to Liberian Mandingos is mainly reported in parts of Montserrado, Sino, Grand Bassa, and Bong counties. The NCML leadership further gathered that some of the voters' registration staff continues to selectively subject Liberian Mandingos to irrelevant, unnecessary, and humiliating questions at various registration centers. NMCL says such actions on the part of some of the NEC staffers is a smart project to disenfranchise many Liberian Mandingos. Meanwhile, NMCL said this is totally unacceptable, and we hereby urge all those in the practice to desist the wrongful denial of Liberian Mandingos. The release said every person appearing to register deserves equal treatment for the partiality, and nobody should be processed based on ethnic or religious identity. So what do you have to say? I mean, Mr. Woods just spoke about the situation with Mandingos and the voters registration problem. What do you have to say about that, Mr. Hassan?
Well, with the issue of denial of Mandingo people the right to vote, I don't think it's systemic. I think the problem is cultural. We have had it, and also we have had that problem before with a lot of Liberians believing that Mandingo people are not citizens, and Doe was the one that made them citizens. And until we can address that issue, I think there's going to be a problem.
That's okay, so you think that issue needs to be addressed?
That issue needs to be addressed. I was in Liberia quite recently, and I mean last year, about two. I came back about 2 months ago. I had that same problem. I went to Foreign Affairs, and I called my name Hassan Fariga, and this lady looked at me and said, Fariga from where? We need to do away with asking. People always associate your surname with being Liberian or not Liberian. And
right.
I've seen educated people doing that. And it's really disturbing. That's a really disturbing trend in Liberia. Educated people do that also. And people associate Eric Hassan with Mandingo or, you know, that tribe. We all,
right.
You know, after the fact. So that's a serious problem. That problem really need to be addressed. And the government, should start from the government. The government will start issuing national ID, like during the Doe government, while he instituted that national ID card system.
Yeah.
I think that one step, that one way to start, but it's an issue, it's a serious issue that needs to be addressed.
That's the
main problem, I think. That's the main problem.
Okay, we'll go to Mr. Woods.
What happened is, I like the way Hassan said, this is not systemic. It's a cultural, you know, prejudice against those people. You know, it's a cultural prejudice. And like I said before, this is not even Liberia alone. This is an African issue because there are some tribes that cross border. You see, my wife is from Ethiopia, but her tribe is in Eritrea, Ethiopia. So you see, Mandingos are, you know, across the border too. But bear in mind, Kisi too are, you know, in our area too, in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. So those things, most of those African way, we never had a proper documentation of aliens and non-aliens. So that's the issue. But for me, I wrote something about, if I was in Monrovia today, I was going to go with my Mandingo brothers so we can fight this thing. Because justice denied everywhere, like Dr. King, is justice denied everywhere. So now, what they need to do, the brothers, I think my Mandingo brothers, I could be there and help them. They need to go directly there and identify the voters, you know, identify them, make sure that they're not, you know, because sometimes it may be true or maybe false, identify the voters. And if it's a correct case, then you get the names of the people who deny them. And you take those names to the election commission. You go to the Justice Ministry and present your case. Now, if the case is valid, and if the government cannot take any stand, then you can take legal action and inform the international world, whether OAU or UN.
And to add up to what Mr. Wu just said, another thing again, we also have to look at it both ways. Liberia does not have the dual citizenship. In effect, they have some Mandingo that are in Guinea. They are citizens. It's true that some of them cross over and do register as Liberians, maybe to commit voter fraud or to benefit from something or because some shady deal, somebody paid them for that. So we also have to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
I believe that everything should be investigated. If you are a true
Thank
Liberian, you can identify yourself. Show where you're coming from, and then you could be registered. But we need a national identification system in Liberia. We need it in place. I think that will help.
So how do you solve the problem now that, you know, people have crossed borders and all of that? How do you get to say who's the Liberian, who's not, when it comes to the Mandingos?
It's the government responsibility to identify people.
Thank you.
And the government is not doing more to address that issue. That's one of the He gets hurt.
So
the government is not doing more.
So what do you think the government could do to properly address that issue? Because
the government
is going to create a little bit of conflict.
The government through the immigration or nationalization need to create a system and issue or national identification system. That's the first step. Like the UN, I think it was last year the UN did a sensor, right? Through that sensor, they can identify Liberians, and that way I think we need to start from. Yeah.
Okay.
We need to put that system in place. That's the first step. Because this trend has been going on for long. I work in Liberia.
Exactly.
I work with the government. And can you imagine? Sometimes I travel, somebody will stop me and take my ID card. You see me with an official Liberian passport, and you look at my ID card and say, Hassan,
now,
Madiga, from where?
Okay, let me tell you, Comrade Hassan. Sometimes we have to move from this whole paperwork identification to electronic, system of storing information. You know,
yeah.
In a sense that, you know what I'm saying? So, Hassan, you got my point, right?
Yeah, it
so,
makes sense.
So what happened now that you and me and the host today, maybe we go to Liberia today from America. So the immigration office should have a system that he can be able to scan or check to see if they're matching that at the foreign ministry or the national registry so that there can be no argument, counter argument. You know, because it's expensive, but we need to do that. Secondly, it's for national security. It is for national security. Because people from the border of Ivory Coast, they can come to Liberia and say, Liberian citizen, and cause chaos, even Guinea or Sierra Leone. So now, if the man comes from Sierra Leone, he says his name is Sa. He said, what's the last name? He called his name Sa Yuma. We check in the system, we look at the ID and everything. You know, just how to do it. And we say, hey, my man, you're not Liberian. Then, you know, we can take the proper action against him. It's, we got to move from that moral central base, or how you call it, government, to decentralize, you know, everything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right. Right. I think decentralization of the government will be a good approach to some of these problems in Liberia. Because reports from Liberia is saying that Monrovia is overcrowded. Everybody is coming to Monrovia thinking that life is only in Monrovia. So, how do we attract people from Monrovia to other parts of the county to relieve that overcrowdedness in Monrovia and to also create life sustenance in those other counties, in the form of jobs and, other things? Mr. Woods?
What happened is that just industrialization attract workers. Most people come to Monrovia because the economy run in Monrovia. So I could be walking to the Freeport to that security, and my young brother can be from Sia in Bassa County. I said, come here, brother, to live with me. Yeah, because I can make maybe $50 or so a month. So the economy draws to Monrovia. Now, if we have factories, let's say big place the fires to now, have finished products. I'm talking about finished products, buckets and sandals and spoons, rubber spoons. You open a factory that it will attract workers. Then what you do, places at West Point and Yucatan, you give those people priority to move to that area first. And you say, hey, if you really get over there, we'll give you a job. Then you build a temporary housing thing that can be, just like a Bonafé estate. Then that will help the depopulate. You can do it from area to area, whether you go Grand G there, you go Limba, you go Maryland, industrialization. Even communal farm, open a big farm that we can grow rice and build a housing unit so that people can work there and pay towards rent at Bonnersville, then they can own the property. That's the only way we'll decentralize that place.
Okay. Mr. Hassan,
yeah,
what do you think about decentralization?
The problem with the government needs to create mechanisms that will create, be able to provide jobs for our citizens. And we need to move companies to leeward counties and not restrict it to Monrovia. Most of the companies want to stay in Monrovia. They established in Monrovia. They want to stay in Monrovia. They need to take the companies, industries, to leave our counties. I think that's the first step, and that will really help. That's one of the main things. The government needs to build, business structure that people will be able to live in our area. Because if you have pipeline water and LEC or current in Monrovia and in the interior, the rural area, you have to use generator and all of that, it's difficult.
It is.
It's very difficult, I think. That's what the government needs to do. The government needs to provide business services to the people in the Leeward area, that other people will be willing to leave the city and move on outside to work and also provide jobs.
I could agree with you. There's no incentives in those counties. That's why people are leaving from there, going to the city, because it seems like life is so deplorable there, and the only sense of some sort of survival is in the city. So if things are somehow done in the contrary, instead of, you know, putting everything in the city, I mean, it's been spread out to the counties and the development growth begins in those areas, I think people will go back to those areas. But let me ask you this, gentlemen, because there's a lot of discussion about the Chinese low-cost products in Liberia and the effect it will have on the masses and the generation to come. The high concentration of lead in their products, as you know, it's been banned in a lot of countries around the world. I'm not saying that all the products from China are bad, but there are some, you know, that could cause great harm to the young generation of Liberia, especially babies growing up and all of that. What do you have to say about the cheap Chinese product that, you know, it's spoken of to have a high concentration of lead, even though knowing that, you know, the cost of living is high in America and the income in America is below a dollar a day or so, and it's very difficult for people to, you know, financially obtain these things. And with the low-cost product, it seems like a way out, but then there's another you know, disadvantages. So what do you have to say? Let's start off with Mr. Hassan.
I think I will hold the government accountable for that. The government is supposed to protect our citizens. So there should be regulation for that, or to that effect. If the government is not doing it, the government should be held accountable.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Hassan. There are some in the government that are saying to the government, there are members of the government that wants to ban those cheap products that is said to have high concentration of lead. But then there are also members of the government that are saying that these products, you know, those they seem to have a little, have a high level of lead in it, but then it also creates an avenue for those low-income family or those poor family to be able to acquire some of these things for their livelihood. So, I mean, they're saying there's some advantage to it, and then also we acknowledge the disadvantage or the harm to the lives. So, you know, there's a pro and there's a con. So what do you do? Let me ask you, Mr. Woods.
Well, the issue is that we should have dignity. We should have dignity.
Yeah.
First of all, and what I want to say, health is wealth. A healthy nation is a wealthy nation. Now, first of all, I did a foreign policy, I read a whole foreign policy on that too. Most African countries, including Liberia, don't have a comprehensive foreign policy dealing with trade and regulation against China. I think you guys get what I'm trying to say. So, most of them have an effective foreign policy with trade, security, and everything effect against China. They're so worried about the Chinese coming in to help and build roads and everything. Even the build roads there, they don't even know how the environmental impact. The Chinese don't care about that. You know, so they're doing good, but sometimes we have to be able to steady the Chinese people in the same way they're steadying us. Now, they need to have call the health ministry, call the expert, and you call it so that they can be able to have a administration that will be able to monitor environmental and health issues that can affect people. Now, then our people who go and buy to China, then they should be having a workshop before they go. You know, and before you go to China to buy goods, they will give them workshop. You got business people now. Not everything is government. You got business people.
Right.
The government will call the business people, say, hey, you go to China, this and this is prohibited. and you know, and this and that, so they can be educated. Because business people, they want money. That's what I have to say.
Right. Okay. That's good, Mr. Woods. Mr. Hassan.
Yeah, the problem, and like what Mr. Wu was saying, African people have policy in place, but they are not implementing it. And I think that's wrong. The government needs to regulate this stuff. That's the only way forward. The Chinese people don't care. They manufacture more goods. They're looking for places to dump it, or places to dump it. So they really don't care. It's our government that we elected. They sort of be the one to protect us. You talk about dignity. It's true. Despite we are suffering and we are going through a lot of hardship, I think there will be more harm caused when we import these layers and all the other toxic material to our country. Our kids are going to die, and a lot of things are going to happen. So there's more harm than good. The decision maker need to sit and think about that. That's my position on that. They really need to think about that. Low quality goods,
yeah,
or the destruction of life and property.
I go along with you both on this, because you know, the Liberian government has to put their foot down on this issue, because it has a long effect and a lasting effect that, if not attended to now, would be so devastating that, you know, in the long run, we'll have no way out of it. You're talking about cancer and all kinds of sicknesses. You know, we're already living in a poverty state in Liberia, in Africa right now. We shouldn't be living that way, because, you know, in comparison with America and other countries, you know, Liberia is rich with natural resources, whereas America and other countries, their economic is based on financial investment by strong investors, you know, investors from around the world. So the poverty rate in Liberia is only that high because of the selfish greed of its individuals that have been in power, governmental power. So I do agree with you that the government needs to exercise more restraint on what comes into the country, you know, for consumer purposes. So let me ask you this now. If at all we put a hard regulation on what comes into the country on a consumer goods and put stop to those cheap Chinese products, what happens when the consumer cannot get those products anymore? Because it seems like China is the only country that's bringing in these goods, even though they have that you know, health effect, but it seems like they are the only country bringing in these cheap products, giving the consumer some way out, you know, to have these things for their daily lives, even though it's somehow affecting them. I mean, what happens when we put a stop to these low-cost, harmful products from China? Where do we get them from? How do we supply the consumer market? Mr. Wu?
Let me say something. Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
Let me say something. Most of the goods that we, the product that we use in America comes from China. If you look on most of the, if you read the fine print or look on, I mean, on where the goods were manufactured, most of them were manufactured in China. The government have,
right,
the U.S. government have mechanisms in place. They have a system in place that deal with that, that regulate that. They check the product. If it's substandard, they send it back. They don't allow it into the country. So the government can do that. Not all the goods that are in China, They are substandard, or they are bad for consumers. So if the U.S. can do it, America can do it. They just need a system in place that will work. That's all they need.
Okay, Mr. Hassan, Mr. Woods.
Yeah, I'm trying to buttress what my comrade is saying over there. And a lot of Chinese goods come to America. Go to the dollar store. Those are cheap Chinese goods.
Yeah.
And you can, some of the things in the dollar store today, it's more expensive in Liberia if you take it there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hassan, maybe you agree with that.
Yeah,
some of the
I agree.
Yeah, so, yeah, some, and those things that came to the dollar store in the U.S., It went through the process of evaluation by the American government. You see? So, you know, we can say that, oh, yeah, it restricts Chinese goods from coming. First of all, they can have to fix the laws because cheap goods are all over the world. It's the business people also, too, that bring it. If we Chinese business, if we Lebanese businessmen, if we Liberian businessmen, they bring it there. So you got to face the rules for them to follow and obey.
Okay, that does make sense. I mean, it's all about the government taking action and being more vigilant on, you know, taking care of the masses of Liberia, the Liberian people. Okay, let's get to another story in Liberia in regards to the LP party, the Liberty Party, headed by Councilman Brumskin. It was reported that he spoke to the people of Grand Bassett County and told them that the people of Grand Bassett County needs to elect the next president of Liberia from Grand Bassett County. And if they don't get off their high horses and, you know, be a part of the election and elect the next president from Buchanan, they will be shy of infrastructure development to Grand Bassett County, and that will be because of their own laziness, he said. For me, I look at it as of blackmailing the people of Grand Bassett County.
Thank you,
Mr. Brumskin. You know, I don't know. Let's have you guys weigh in. We start off with
okay.
Mr.
I can start.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I'm not. Mr. Brumskin is a brilliant lawyer. I respect him. He was one of the few people that were vocal when it went into a lot of and the former president Peter policy, and I respect him for that. I think he means well for Liberia, but his statement, I think it was tribalistic, and I think it should be denounced. Every well-meaning Liberian, because we're trying to do away with tribal something. We don't vote try to stop the thing of people voting based on tribal affiliation and all of that. I think his statement was tribalistic, to be quite honest with you, or frank with you.
Okay. Mr. Woods?
Well, and clearly stated, as the man said, I think it was tribalistic. It was divisive and very, 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 you know, poor articulation. In a sense that, how will you try to bring about development within your own area? You know, now if I'm from Boston too, I think. And so now if I was from, let's say, if I was from Kitimat County, and a man speaking like that, I said, I cannot vote for this man. First of all, he only care about the Boston people. And you only want to maybe bring development towards his side of the country. You know what I mean? So now, to me, it's a sign of desperation. Because, you know, he tried one or two things to go with We Are, and to me, it never worked out well. So it's a sign of desperation. So he's using the last cry to get the people's sentiments. And it's not only about some people that are suffering. All over Liberia, people are suffering. All over people are suffering. We need a national leader who care for national interests, not tribalistic, you know, not nepotistic. We need a national leader. So Brumskin made a wrong call. That's what I want to say.
Right, right. And you made reference to soccer ambassador George Weah, who is head of the CDC party. If you can remember, there was sometime in the early stage, there was some there was word that they were to merge CDC and LP, and then later on, members of the CDC said that Mr. Weah didn't have the right to make that decision. It should have been based on the decision of the party as a whole. And looking at the presidential race right now, all the candidates and the inclusion of soccer ambassador George Weah, what's your impression of his participation in this coming election? I know he did in the previous election. What's your input on his participation? Well, let's start with Mr. Hassan.
Well, Mr. Weah is a legend. He contributed immensely to the football,
to football in Liberia, and I must give him credit for that. However, I don't think George Weah, I think George Weah lacks the ability to rule Liberia. I think he's inexperienced, and I believe he and his associates, they don't mean well for Liberia.
Okay.
That's my position. And just to think about, just to think about George Weah coming close to becoming president for Liberia, it makes me cringe. To be quite honest with you, I strongly believe that if George Weah become president, he's gonna raise a strong army and become another dictator.
Okay. That's Mr. Hassan. Mr. Woods, do you think Mr. Weah stands a chance in the presidential upcoming election?
Well, he's still a chance, but he's not going to win. He's still a chance to be second. Well, I don't know if he's still a chance to win. Because of his party now, the structure of the foundation of his party is breaking down. Through the last few months, we see that clearly. We can beat around the bush. It has been breaking down. Then he's been trying to look for alliances with a lot of people. It has never worked. So now, I'm suspecting that Elling, well, I'm not big in politics, I'm a minister. Elling is going to win, but I think it's going to be a landslide victory, and he may come second, but I don't think he's going to do any further than that, you know.
Oh, you don't think he's going to do any further than that?
Yeah, what I mean in a sense that it will be a one round. So, you know, everybody's going to lose before Elling is going to win by landslide.
Okay. We just got another guest join us. Pan African is his own. Pan, good evening. How are you? Welcome to Focus on Africa.
Yeah, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, brother, how are you?
Okay.
We're discussing presidential candidates in Liberia for the upcoming presidential election, and we're just talking about CDC presidential candidate George Weah, Ambassador George Weah, and LP presidential candidate Brumskin. As a person, I respect Mr. Weah for his accomplishment in the world of sports, you know, bringing pride to Liberia and the Liberians. I, as a person, feel that Mr. Weah could accomplished a lot for Liberia in the field of sports, you know, if he were to use his influence in that era other than, you know, including himself in the presidential race, which I think is far-fetched for Mr. Weah. People talk about his educational standard and when it comes to the presidency. How do you feel about his him as a person and running for the presidency? Pan, let's start over you, Pan.
Okay, well, thank you for the question. I think it's a great question. Mr. Weah, you know, what do I think about him? In the first place, I think Weah is a statesman. He's done so many great things, like you said, for Liberia in the area of sports, you know, and it's one of those areas that Liberians are very, very in tune to, who love sports, and Mr. Weah put us on the map at one point in our history, and given the fact that no man is an island, Weah decided to become political, and he casted his net in the political water there, and he's been testing the field to see whether there's a possibility. My issue with opposition to his candidacy is that Liberians are very much interested in seeing a democratic Liberia. Then we should not prevent Weah from becoming president, as is the case right now with so many forums I've been to. You know, everybody is saying, "Oh, this man is not qualified. He's not blah blah blah." The problem of the matter is that it's not about qualification at this point. Give the man the chance. Let democracy take its course in Liberia. If he loses, fine. If he does win, I'm sure Weah is going to surround himself with a lot of qualified Liberians who will help him to run the country, just as it is the case with any political system around the world where somebody becomes president and have never been a president before. You know, so I think in the interest of democracy that we claim to be wanting so much in Liberia, we should be given a fair chance at the presidency, and if he loses, fine. If not, then we just have to live with it because it's what democracy presents. That's my take on the issue.
Go ahead, Hassan.
I'll follow you.
Okay. Speaking from a law enforcement perspective, why I'm against Mr. Weah becoming president. Speaking from a law enforcement perspective.
Who is this?
Yes, Hassan. Mr. Fadu.
Okay.
Mr. Weah, there's something they call profiling in law enforcement. Behavioral profiling and criminal profiling. Mr. Weah lives in America. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. When you a scientist, once you understand profiling, it will really worry you or trouble you when you see a guy like Mr. Weah running to become president for Liberia. That guy, behavior is erratic. That's the first step. That's one of the warning signs for someone becoming a dictator. This guy was married. In order for me to convey my message, I have to talk about his transgressions. Mr. Weah has numerous girlfriends, and comparing with it's the same trend Mr. Taylor had. I strongly believe that because of his erratic behavior, becoming president, he's gonna be a liability to the country. He's gonna buy luxury cars for his girlfriends. His associates, they're going to be uncontrollable, and we're going to have the same problem we had during the former President Taylor and administration. That's my fear. And looking at his past behavior and the pattern, I think Mr. Weah is not going to do well for Liberia if he's elected president.
Okay. That's Mr. Wuzo, you heard what Mr. Hassan said, and Pan said about Mr. Weah, Pan said it's not being qualified, it's not much of an asset that, he should be excluded on. And then you heard what Mr. Hassan said about, his lifestyle and, being out there, a whole lot of girlfriends are similar to that of Mr. Taylor. What do you say, Mr. Woods?
Well, when they say qualification, I know he qualified as a citizen to run. Because he has his rights, 35 years, or your own property and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but in terms of qualification, when people say in terms of qualification, is he qualified to lead? Because a president should have some managerial skills to control and direct orders within the executive branch. And now, this man is not coming with no managerial skills from nowhere. And also, a president, I'll say that to you guys, I debated with somebody else before. One British woman tried to correct the guy when they were trying to vote Bush. As a president, among his peers, his level of intelligence should be above his peers. Now, if it's not even above his peers, it should be equal to his peers. Now, you can use President Barack Obama and Clinton like that. Those guys, the level of intelligence excel that of the peers. You can bring a defense guy today here now. He's taking from Iraq. And he's not going to talk to Barack Obama in any kind of way because Barack Obama will know some foundational aspect of defense that he can relate to the guy. Now, I don't even know if this man can prepare budget. You got to have some little bit of managerial skills. You don't have that peers. So that's my point. I'm not going to go to his lifestyle and all that kind of stuff, but let me just stick to the managerial skills and the level of intelligence.
And from speaking with a few of his colleagues or people that work with him, most of them said that this guy is very vindictive, and we don't want a leader that is vindictive. When he disagree with you on a lot of issues, he sidelines you and they treat you the enemy. I have about three or four people, and you look at his party, about eight people, permanent people, a member of the party, I switched sides. That also shows That also shows that's a warning sign right there.
Well, as the issue was twisting shot, we're not going to go there. We know that. I heard that he's very, very, you know, erratic and cut speech and all that kind of stuff. But now, some of those switches are, that's his common political maneuvering. You know, people do that sometimes, especially like we're in politics. They feel that, I'm not getting my interest done here. Maybe the guy don't want to make the VP as his candidate, and I see this other guy is winning or this old man is winning. Hey, let me go this way. So we don't know the inside out of that, but it's still shaky ground.
Yeah, and, you know, we are right now, it's been bombarded with a lot of so-called friends and so-called intellects around him that is, you know, pushing him towards this presidential election. But notwithstanding, I believe the selfish intention is to drain him out of his leftover wealth that he you know, made during his soccer career. Now, during the first his first participation in the first election when he went against Madam Sirleaf, I was fortunate to be up in Philadelphia when they were running his campaign. And I was at one in their campaign when he was supposed to call in to speak to the members at that campaign that evening. And surprisingly to my awareness, you know, I was surprised to see how many Liberians were out there, you know, out there to give their support to Mr. Weah, you know, for his presidency to become the president of Liberia, knowing what we had already been through, the war we had been through, and how far back we had gone, you know. So, I mean, I guess I was the only person that spoke out at his function against his participation in the presidency, and now here he comes again. You know, like I said, the first time when I went there, there were a lot of soccer players that, you know, shared this soccer career with Diba in Liberia and abroad, and I could see a lot of them counting their positions as they were campaigning for him. And, you know, this just exhibited, you know, before me how, you know, Liberians are so selfish when it comes to, you know, the country and the wealth of the country. I mean, they were counting their positions before he even went through the presidency.
Exactly.
And they were counting, you know, how many houses, cars, and girlfriends and whatnot they would have. I mean, this is very selfish. And, you know, I admire George Weah for his accomplishment in sports, like I said. But when it comes to the presidency, you know, there are characteristics of a president, of a person that, you know, that leads to the presidency. And I don't believe Mr. Weah have any of these characteristics. You know,
and to add up to what you
that's
said,
just my
Mr.
point of
Weahouse,
view.
In front, Mr. Weahouse. Look, if somebody really mean well for Liberia, you will see it from the guy. George Weah made more than almost $12 million or more dollars during his career. I want somebody, maybe in the panel, to tell me give me one solid contribution or solid project that George Weah carried on in Liberia.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't have the right as a Liberian to partake in whatever Liberian election or whatnot, but, you know, this is a mockery of the presidential race in Liberia, you know? I mean, that's just me.
Well,
you know, with his inclusion in the presidential race, I think it's a mockery of the presidency.
Well, Bisma, if you describe the whole political atmosphere as or his participation as being a mockery, then I think you should fairly, you know, extend your view throughout the whole board, because right now the way we have the situation set up in Liberia, it seems there's nobody else in the whole Republic of Liberia that is qualified for the presidency for Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and I refuse to believe that. You know, whenever somebody attempts to show their head, it's like somebody is standing somewhere with a big hammer and they'll slap you and you go right back. You know, they don't want to hear your voice.
I don't think that we don't have anybody qualified. The problem here is I don't think we have anybody who has the country and its people at heart.
So in other words, what you're saying is that it's just Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, of all the millions of Liberians, who's the only person that has this country at heart. So nobody else should be able to.
I think what I'm saying is I think she's the only person who has stepped up to the plate to carry it out, to lead and to govern, you know, with a complete system of government with check and balance.
Well, I have a little problem with that
let me ask you guys this question today. Y'all please forgive me when I say that. I'm just, for God forbid, suppose Sarah does it, so Ellen died today. So are we telling you that we not have no leadership besides Ellen?
Mr. Woods.
We
have competent Liberian. Mr. Bounds, Mr. Bronski, Mr. Todmore, and a lot of educated Liberian that are capable of leading Liberia.
Okay, I get your point. You're right. So now, but sometimes some people may think that way. But I'm going to drive a point now. Now, one of the reasons I like her for is that, let me tell you guys today, I know she's not the only capable one. We can even take a 35-year-old young guy from Morovia, he can lead. You know, God can give him the power to lead. He's intelligent. So guys, trust me, look how brilliant. You don't have to come out of London and New York and all the places, and Minnesota. Now, the issue is that what I prefer this government for, I will tell you guys that now. It's already in place. The wheels are turning. Now, if you bring, let's say you bring a government, let's say UP, CDC win in this one. So the CDC guy now, a man may have a master's degree in business administration, he's not even functioning in a professional capacity. You get my point? So all those people, they get taken from nursing home and all those things, they have all the degrees, the PhD, and all that stuff. But, when they hit the ground, falling on the face.
Mr. Woods, what that seems to me is a clear testament of how messed up the political system in Liberia is, and it presents a need for us to fix the system so that in case of any eventuality, for instance, like the question you asked about the unfortunate demise of our current leader, just in case that ever happens, so that we'll have a means or a structure that will immediately take effect. And begin to strategize the next leadership. I mean, it would be unfortunate if Bwaga should take over if such a thing happened, because he's just as old as Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is. There's a need for us to breathe new breath, in the political system in Liberia, and where we have it set up right now, and the direction is going, it seems we are promoting dictatorship. Instead of practicing democracy, because whenever somebody shows his hair up, and try to express their desire to pick up the mantle, we immediately kill that person with words. Well, you're not qualified.
We are having problems with.
I've expanded my stance on this issue, not just on we are, though, because we are. It's just a piece of the cake. There's a bunch of other Liberians out there who are afraid to even show up because of fear that they will be slammed down real hard, like they have been doing with other people. This person is not qualified. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf in our eyes right now is qualified, and I think that's a travesty of the political system. We need to change that. We need to have an opposition.
I don't think we are saying that she's the only qualified one. When it comes to qualification, the only person we rule out of being qualified amongst the presidential candidate is Mr. Weah. And we all agree that he's not qualified for the position of presidency.
Prince Johnson is another story.
So both of them are two
Prince
people.
Johnson is a, Prince Johnson is a... It's another story, because if you can remember, after he became senator of Nimba County, there was an issue raised in the country saying that Senator Johnson shouldn't have been elected senator of Nimba County because he was once a warlord, and, issues of the war were still, pending and not being prosecuted yet, and hopefully maybe there were, in the long run, they will have some sort of prosecution against Mr. Johnson. But, you know, there was contention that he shouldn't have been senator. And then President Johnson, President Sirleaf said that, you know, there's a system of government and everything has to go through the system of government. He was elected by the people and it has to go through the process. So Mr. Johnson is another story, you know. But what I'm saying about President Sirleaf is that, you know, her first term, you know, she has done well. You know, she's making progress. Compared to the past presidents, I think she is now setting an example of good governance, you know, of a system of government that works, and she's making progress infrastructure-wise, you know, political-wise, and, you know, Liberia has somehow gained their recognition in the world again, you know, the financial debt of the country has been dropped. So what I'm saying is that we have a saying in Liberia that when if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, she's doing a good job, and all I think is fair is to give her another term, and giving her another term, I know she will make more progress. And in making more progress, it will kind of, you know, carry the system of government through a process that would create a genuine system of government that works. And then when the next election comes about and another person becomes president, I mean, all they will have to do is to follow the same system of government that has been put into place.
So, let me add on to what you were just saying, Bismarck. I visited Liberia last year, like I said previously, and I would never offend of Ellen Johnson. We all, I think, we saw part of those era, and we saw more of Charles Taylor era. Because we part of that generation, the third one generation were kind of late. Now,
right.
From my observation, this lady is doing extremely well. Her skillful leadership has earned Liberia respect in the communities of nation around the world. This lady has accomplished a lot that her predecessor they didn't even reach close. And I was
right.
Very impressed. Number one, there's rule of law in Liberia. That's one of the most important things. The coast system is working for the first time. The banking reform. I went to Liberia. I saw a lot of our crowd having their own cards. For the first time in Liberia history, the bank giving a loan for mortgages. For the first time in Liberia history, people getting car loan. For the first time in Liberia history, we're talking about statutory rape.
Right.
So, you see, the system is not the best, but it's working, and it's through the skillful and leadership. The system is working, and we must commend her for her hard work, man.
Is this Antonio talking?
Yes.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Mr. Woods.
Well, and sometimes we get the system working. For me, I like to see the best of everything. So, you know, if I have a car that is working, it's old, it runs 20 miles an hour, and the mechanic tells me, say, if I do, I can improve it, I would like to improve it. You know what I'm saying? So can we sit down? Well, I give her credit for setting a good structure, but the time demands that. Now, the time, 2010, most wars and all those things, 2011, most of the people now around the world demand accountability from government, and Liberia has went through all those troubles. So this time, they have to play it right for people to do it. Now, I follow her government too. I think they are overpaid. The staff are very overpaid over there, you know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Make a strong plan. Pat, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, well, what I wanted to say earlier, and I didn't have a chance to say, is that I'm continuing my argument about the need to have a system that sustains itself instead of a system that relies on one person or a few persons to run a whole nation. We have to take responsibility for what we are doing here. If we really want a truly viable political system, you know, we will have to not always elevate our presidents. We have to check them. We have to hold their hands and say, you know what, we are holding you responsible for the running of this country in ways that nobody else have done before. I mean, I give you credit for saying that. Ellen has done some stuff. It's true she's done some stuff. But at the same time, she's also done some negative things that I'm sure so many people are not happy about. Like, for instance, allowing people who were very corruptive in her government that were formed to be corrupted and stole millions of dollars to just walk cash free without being penalized. That's not a way to promote a system.
True.
You know, I think a man like, what's this guy? This guy that got caught having sex with two girls. I forgot his name. This guy Knuckles is alleged to have stolen lots of money in Liberia. You know what I mean? It's, you know, if we have to allow the law to take its due course, of course, there was just allegations, but we, like we say in Liberia, most of the time, I mean, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. You know, the system was not set up, and it's not set up in such a way that people like that can be brought to justice to account for what they are alleged to have stolen from the country, and there are a lot of them in the system right now. It's not just him. You know, and all of these things are happening right under Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's watch, and everybody is not, most people who are her supporters are not looking at this, but they are just saying, oh, they're just looking at all the positive things that she's doing, but and at the same time, completely undermining or overlooking the negatives. And I don't think that's right. You know, if we really want our country to be clear and free, we need to take those things into account in our every dealings with our leaders. And that brings me to a point where I think that our president should not have so much power as they do right now, because it seems that once you are president, you are a god in the country. We need to take power and take some of the powers away from the presidency and give it to other local leaders instead of just the president. What do you guys think about that?
Okay. Okay, Pam, you make a strong point. We just had another guest join in, LIB recording artist and musical ambassador, Puduga Takbofina. Puduga, welcome to Focus on Africa.
It's a blessing how y'all doing today. Ms. Mark and all the Hassan and Mr. Woods and everybody. How you doing?
You're doing great, man.
Welcome, brother.
We're discussing the presidency of Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf in the upcoming elections. Do you want to weigh in, Pudu?
Well, I would just like to just add on a little bit on to what the brother just said just now about it being it residing in the people to take the initiative to not always put everything in the hand of one person or one individual. There are so many things that we as a people can do to take initiative. But in the past, I like to speak into existence. I would say, like, in the past, there's been a tendency to always say, oh, this one, the president didn't do this, the government didn't do this, they didn't do this. All right, what can we do as a people to uplift our people in the areas where they may fall short? You know, the president is there to create some avenues or create some sort of leeway. You know, the people, you know, on the lower ground, they have to be able to fill in those cracks and take it from there, and not always just say, oh, it's in this person's hand. Or else it's always going to be a whole lot of criticism to say, oh, they're not doing this. Oh, but they're doing this. Oh, but they're not doing this. You know, we need to fill in those gaps.
Okay. Okay, Puru. Hassan?
Yeah.
You want to?
What I was trying to say, Ellen is not a saint. Her government has her own flaws. We all know that. The security situation in Liberia, there's some corrupt official. What I'm trying to say, and we try to look at our country history, there are a lot of other leaders that came before her, and people used to do a lot of stuff and walk away with impunity. This lady has instituted a system that is not the best, but is working, and we must commend her for that. That's my position here. I went to Liberia. Honestly, I was quite impressed. There's rule of law, and one of the basic essential tools for democracy.
Element of
democracy. The court system is working. The government tried to prosecute a lot of people for corruption, but you know what was happening? The jury were popping.
through God's phone where they were residing, and the broadband. I know a few cases that happened. You cannot blame the government for that kind of stuff.
Mr. Hassan makes a point, you know, and also what Puru said, you know, it's not what your country can do for, but what can you do for your country? You know, here they go set up a jury panel, you know, to take these people to trial, and they are being bought by the guilty party. I mean, what happens to justice? We ourselves as people have to help the government, you know, to enforce these things, you know, I'm saying, to make sure that these laws are instituted and carried out properly, you know. I mean, what happens to the justice system when the jury is being bribed, you know, when the judges are being bribed, you know? Look at what we just spoke about a few minutes ago about voters' fraud. Speaker of the House being involved in voters or registration fraud. I mean, how can we curtail this problem?
One thing is that the problem I face with the whole Liberian thing is that Liberia has three branches of government. We have the executive branch, we have the House, and the judiciary branch, right? Now, most of the time we put the blame on the executive branch, the president. Now, all have to work together for them to progress. The House and the representative there, they should enact red laws, bills. They sit over there, eat money for nothing. Red bills. So they can tighten corruption.
Yep.
You know, it's a teamwork. Because the House is powerful too as the executive branch. You know, all the ministers, then they only have one leader, is the president. The executive branch is an elected position. We put them there, and we put the representative to represent the constituents. So we can fight through our elected representatives and senators. They should be able to pass bills, you know. Now, when we're talking about the whole, Ellie, one thing for sure, people told me that she sometimes tends to protect her own people. According to one of her big UP persons, she was telling me not to. She confessed to me. Said she sometimes tend to protect her own people. Now, I ain't living in LA. Trust me. We know we have legal system. You think if she really wants something effectively carried out, she can do that. So, you know, in a sense that we give her A for certain things in that regard of not the formal prosecution, I'll give her D in that regard. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing we should take into consideration, even though people are not being prosecuted the way we want to see it, but now people are talking about that. Corrupt officials are looking over the shoulder.
Thank you.
We should commend her for that. Before, people used to see it, we're all looking over the shoulder. They used to brag about it. But right now, I went to a lot of government offices, and you see people kind of afraid, looking over the shoulder. Because they know when they are caught, they're going to be prosecuted and they're going to lose their job. So it means the system is not the best, but at least it's working. And within 10 or 5 years from now, we're going to get somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds very hopeful, you know. We all have to work towards it. We all have to help the government, you know. The problem is just within the government itself. The members of government, they are the ones creating problem with her governance, you know. As you can recall, members of government have been caught embezzling funds from the government, and she have tried to prosecute them, and you know, it's on a slow pace, but we are trying to be hopeful that they will be prosecuted and, you know, law and order will be carried out. It's about 5 minutes down the time for us to get out of here. I want to thank my panel of guests for their participation in tonight's Focus on Africa. I always say this, and I'll say this again. If the leaders or the rulers of Africa could pay attention to what we're doing here on Focus on Africa, where we dialogue and to disagree to agree and find solutions to the problem in Africa, I believe if they could use the example from what we're doing here, I mean, they would be able to settle a lot of problems in Africa without war, without fighting. Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for your participation once again on Focus on Africa right here on Radio Talk 101.3. And we look forward to having you all back next weekend to continue the conversation, because hopefully from what we discuss here, members of government and presidents will listen out and learn from what we are doing here, dialoguing among ourselves to find solutions to the problem, and they themselves can use this as an example to solve the problems in the world. But gentlemen, I want to thank you all for coming again. We had Mr. Hassan, Pan-Africanist, Mr. Woods, and also LIB recording artist and musical advisor, Portugal Atakwa Fina. Before you guys get out of here, if you would like to say something, a few words, or send a request out to a friend or family before you get out of here, that would be fine. We'll start off with Mr. Hassan.
Yes, I posted comments on my wall some time ago, and some people criticized me for that. I want to reiterate what I said. George, we are in not a presidential material. I love Liberia so much, and as long as I live, I will always be vocal of him until I see that he's not president of Liberia. Because I know what he doesn't mean well for Liberia. That's my position. And I want to send a shout-out to my beautiful Liberian sisters. That's all.
Mr. Hassan, I want to thank you for your participation, and we expect
you,
nothing
really
less of you. We expect you to be very vocal out there, because your input on the Liberian situation is important. Thank you for your participation. Have a blessed evening. Next, we want to go
thank
to Mr. Woods.
Well, I'd like to close with this, and Malcolm X always start and close with this, and he said, quote, all of our studies, history, is best qualified to reward our research. So we have to learn from history and move forward. I'd like to give all my thanks and a request to all the Pan-African brothers all around the world, that history will be able to shape us, and this time we're going to move forward to Zion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods, and have a blessed evening. I want to thank you for your participation also, and we hope to have you back. Next, we want to go to Perrin.
Yeah, I'm still here. Bismarck.
Yeah.
I think that this is a wonderful thing that you're doing. You ought to be commended for this program. I do have a suggestion as to how to expand this program so that it can attract a lot more participants. I think the way to do that is to give people an idea that is a preview of what the next program is going to be like. Like now we got from now until Friday and Saturday before we're going to have the next show. I think it would be a cool idea if you could come up, like, maybe tomorrow or day after tomorrow with what the topic of the show is going to be like. Publicize it on both our forums.
Yeah, post
your,
it on the wall, on the wall.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your suggestion is well noted, and I highly appreciate it too. And I want to thank you again for your participation tonight, and we hope to have you back. Mr. Next is Puruga, a LIB recording artist and musical ambassador.
Definitely. First and foremost, I just want to thank the Almighty God for all of us being present at this on this conference here. Thank Bismarck and everybody at the radio station, and everybody who took the time to be here and vocalize their hearts. And I would definitely also like to just make a call out to everybody. You know, the state we talked, you know, I was listening from the beginning. You went from Egypt, you're talking about all the stuff, Tunisia, everything that's going on all over the world. For everybody to just sit back and look at what's happening in the world, and just find it in our hearts to, you know, for us to evolve as a people, you know, as a people truly do it this time, because we've been saying it for so many years, so many generations, and I truly think that we're in the midst of a new beginning. And God bless Liberia, whatever it's to be this year. Let's move forward.
Well, thank you, Thank you very much, Pudaga. We want to say thank you again to our panel of guests, and I want to thank them for another interesting evening of interesting opinions and suggestions, and we look forward to having them back next week at same time, same station, to continue on this program focused on Africa. We're having a lot of issues in Africa, and this is another means of coming together and being creative in suggestions and proposals in solving our problem in Africa. I want to thank the brothers again, and I want to wish you all a blessed evening. It's Saturday, TGIS, and it's Bismarck once again right here on Radio Talk 101.3. I want to say thank you to all our Radio Talk 101.3 fans, friends, family around the world. I want to thank you for all your love and support you've given us and still giving us, and it's a pride and pleasure to come to you every week, bringing you news, information, music from Liberia, Africa, and around the world. Hey, we want to say we love you. Love, peace, and happiness around the world, justice for all, and most of all, we want you to know that Jesus loves you. Hey, if you're going out there to have some fun tonight, hey, don't drink and drive, buckle up, and don't text and drive. Have a wonderful evening. Be blessed, and it's Bismarck. Make sure to join us same time, same station for another program of Focus on Africa. We want to thank our panel of guests again, Mr. Hassan, Pan-Africanism, Mr. Woods, and also LIB recording artist and music ambassador Pujuga Takwafina. We want to get out of here now, and let's get out of here with something by Pujuga, the song Break Chains. Hey, we love you. Peace out there.
No.
Many times I wish I stayed in LIB way longer. Had time to grow, build memories stronger.
Are you dead?
Then they may not have been sweet Liberia. More like war from the city to interior. They did that country wrong. I blame stepmama. They do it all over the world. They like to us power. But then we blame ourselves for the shit they cause. Today they should pay for all the lies that was lost. Cause God on our side. Been at the bottom so we can only rise. Oh my, that he can hear all your cries. Wanna be alright, so wipe their tears on your eyes. The love of liberty, though the road was bittersweet. Our history, some built the foundation for a legacy. Long as hell I be blood in my veins. It only makes sense that I break from the chains. If I break from the chains, hey, yeah, God. Break from the chains, hey, yeah. Break from the chains, yeah, yeah, yeah. Break from the chains, yeah, yeah, yeah. Break from the chains, yeah, 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 yeah. Break from the chains, yeah, yeah, yeah. Break from the chains, yeah, yeah. We say break from the chains. I say break from the chains. My people break from the chains. Come on, you gotta break from the chains. I say break from the chains. My people break from the chains. Come on. How can ignorance be bliss, man? Liberty is paradise. You need to tell me living as a slave is the better life. Locked in the mental prison, clouded out, block your vision, blinded from your true potential. Everybody got a mission. I gotta live my life to be free of stress. There's so many aim higher than achieve us now. And that's enough to make us slow cry. Some of us don't know why. All we know is that it hurts and that it's no lie. Cause it's hard tripping through a thrill of faith. One turn on the right path to clear your pain. Then you're feeling like a captain wanna jump off boat. Like a slave on a ship wanna give up hope. Now, it's sort of what I'm destined to be. Has to erase any negative thought. Life is a blessing, you see. Cause I live free to see my destiny. I told God I'm a star, death invest in me. When I broke from the chains, yeah, yeah, God. I said broke from the chains, yeah, 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 yeah. Broke from the chains, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said I broke from the chains, yeah, yeah, yeah. Broke from the chains, yeah, yeah, yeah. Broke from the chains, yeah, yeah.
more broke for that tail.
Radio Talk 101.3, Bismarck will holler at you later. Peace.